Dr. Pam Popper, 614-523-8716.
Good morning, everybody. First of all, just a quick announcement, and I should have mentioned it earlier, and in the busyness of everything, sometimes things slip through the cracks. But this evening, March 26th at 8 p.m. Eastern, I'm doing a conference call for people who are not teachers in public or private schools, but interested in helping with the school food and children's health issue. We have some additional programs that people are going to be able to take advantage of, and presentation materials and things of that nature. And if you are interested in participating in that call, just call our office at 614-841-7700, and we can get the contact or the call-in information to you. So on to today's message. During the last few years, I have been providing a lot of information about why the Gardasil vaccine is a pretty terrible option. And on last week's one of the last week's messages I covered, even one of the researchers involved in the phase 2 and 3 trials is cautioning, she's not saying don't do it, but she's cautioning parents and their young girls to have a lot of conversation and make a much more informed decision about it, which I think says a lot. And one of the issues is that pap tests detect cancer before it really is cancer, actually, and when it's dysplasia at its most treatable stage. And so the need for a vaccine is really questionable. But there's another important issue that I think we need to pay attention to. Cervical cancer, like most cancers, is related to diet, and the right diet can significantly reduce the risk and often can treat the condition, and it's worth trying that, actually, before you do anything else at its earliest stages. So, for example, one study showed that women who eat more fruit, vegetables, and fiber have a 50% decreased risk of developing cervical cancer when you compare to women who eat the least of these foods. In this study, intakes of vitamins A, C, and E were measured, and women who consumed the most of these nutrients from food were at less risk than women who consumed less. Another study showed that lower dietary intake of vitamin A, riboflavin, vitamin C, and folate are associated with increased risk of cervical dysplasia. Where do we find those foods? Those nutrients, rather? We find them in plant foods. And still another study showed that increased fruit and vegetable consumption reduced the risk of cervical dysplasia, the condition that precedes the development of cervical cancer. And, of course, fruit and vegetables are great sources of the nutrients, as I mentioned earlier, that seem to have some relationship to cervical cancer. Even women who have been diagnosed with cervical dysplasia can consider adopting a wellness forum-style diet as a method of treatment. Some studies have shown that the progression of abnormal cells can be slowed or the condition can be reversed with the right dietary changes. A 2010 study showed that women who consumed an antioxidant-rich diet with the specific inclusion of papaya and oranges had significant decreases in the progression of dysplasia. And of course, we've seen that clinically without even going out of your way to include oranges and papaya, just consuming a well-structured plant-based diet leading to the same thing. So all of this adds up. It just adds to the body of evidence that suggests that Gardasil, not such a great idea. Cervical cancer is highly preventable with the right diet. We have a test that detects it at its most treatable stages, and it tends to respond to diet at those stages too. So I thought it was important to throw in there that we're developing vaccines for a condition that is highly preventable and actually treatable with diet. And I don't think that's a good idea. Too much risk, not much benefit. That's all for now, and have a great day.